Good morning, everybody. Now, please stop me if you've heard this joke. So this guy goes into a library and he says to the librarian, I would like to have a hamburger and a Coke and some French fries. And the librarian looked at him and said, sir, do you know where you are? This is a public library. And he said, oh, I'm sorry. I would like a hamburger, Coke, and some French fries. I think you're getting pickier and pickier. Do you know where you are? You're in the house of the Almighty God. You're in a place of grace. You're in a place of hope. You're in a place under which you find yourself protected by the Holy Spirit. You're in a place where the Lord Jesus walks freely among his people, touching our hearts. You're in a place where the Heavenly Father calls those brokenhearted and wayward children to come home to him and find healing in his embrace. Amen. You're in a place where right now the saints who have gone before, those who have loved you and you have loved, are mindful of this worship. You're in a place where even the angels long to hear the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're in a place that is celebrating the greatest story ever told, and that is the story of the God who became flesh and walked on the earth, teaching people, healing people, expressing the kindness of God to people, revealing the nature of God to anyone who would listen. And then who took on our sin and died on the cross and rose from the dead on the third day. And then after 40 days on earth, ascended into heaven, where right now he sits at the right hand of God, overseeing all the affairs of mankind. Oh, what a beautiful story we have, and what a good place to be. And today we have set apart this weekend to celebrate those who want to align themselves with the story of Jesus Christ by baptism. Let's pray together, and then we're going to talk about why baptism matters to God, why it matters to the church, and why I hope it matters to you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your goodness and your kindness. Bless you, Lord. Bless you for your perfect and holy plan. We thank you, Father, and we honor you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. In just a minute, you're going to witness the baptisms of several people. And in also a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity, if you've never been baptized, to consider taking this step of obedience and celebration today. Maybe for some reason you've never been baptized. Maybe you've been a follower of Christ for quite some time, but you've never been baptized. Maybe you're brand new to the faith and you're ready to take that step of faith. Well, many people have already taken that made that decision. They're taking that step today, and you're going to love watching these tender, tender moments of celebration. And if the Holy Spirit prompts you to do the same, I want you to know that at the end of the service, I'll give you an opportunity to go back into the foyer, and there you'll find a team of people who will escort you to one of the two places where you can be baptized, either outside or inside. A beautiful day to be baptized outside. We have a change of clothes for you. Got people ready to help you. It's going to be a wonderful moment. So this could be your day as well. Now, the Bible makes a big deal out of baptism. You might remember this passage from the book of Acts. It's a story about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. It reads like this. Now, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So an angel spoke to Philip about a man who was in a chariot heading back to Africa from Jerusalem. He had been in Jerusalem to celebrate the Pentecost. And so when Philip was told by the angel about the man, Then the Spirit of God talked to Philip and said, now go and overtake or catch up with this chariot. And that's exactly what Philip did. I would have loved to have seen this image of these two men in the chariot, the Ethiopian eunuch, dark-skinned from another part of the world, Philip, fair-skinned from right there in that same zip code. The two men could have hardly been more different. They grew up in different cultures. They spoke different languages. I'm quite confident they had different economic statuses. The Ethiopian eunuch was in charge of all the treasury of the queen. Philip was just an itinerant evangelist. I don't know if he would have had a penny in his pocket. The Ethiopian eunuch was a eunuch. He didn't have a wife or children and no aspirations to have either. Philip, on the other hand, we'll read in Acts chapter 21, had four daughters. So these men were very, very different. But what they had in common was they wanted to know the plan and the will of God. And for some reason, the book of Isaiah was the choice that the Ethiopian made to read about God's will. And when Philip got into the chariot, he asked, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian said, no, I never will unless somebody explains it to me. And the Bible says that he preached Jesus to him. And now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Wouldn't you love to have heard Philip's sermon? What do you think he included in that message? He preached Jesus to him. Think he told the Ethiopian eunuch about the virgin birth? Maybe about the miracles? Maybe about raising the dead? Maybe about the Sermon on the Mount? I'm sure he told the Ethiopian eunuch about the death of Christ on the cross, the resurrection of Christ from the grave, the ascension of Christ into heaven. What a sermon that must have been. And it was a profound sermon. And it left the Ethiopian eunuch asking this question. Well, now here's some water. What keeps me from being baptized? So apparently baptism was a part of the sermon. And the Ethiopian eunuch was quick. He was even more open to the moment, that it seems, than Philip was. He said, well, there's a creek over there. Will that work? He said, what would hinder me from being baptized? Isn't it great that Philip didn't say, well, your ethnic background hinders you, or your economic status hinders you, or your lack of knowledge hinders you. Nothing hindered him that day from being baptized. Like I said, in just a moment, you're going to witness the baptisms of many people who have decided that nothing hinders them from being baptized, and they're ready to celebrate their faith in Christ. You see, once a person admits their sins and turns to Christ for salvation, a public step needs to be taken. And this public step is called baptism. Baptism is the initial and the immediate step of obedience by one who has declared their faith in Christ. So important was this step of baptism that, as far as we know, there was nobody who came to Christ, whose story recorded in the New Testament, who was an unbaptized believer. All the believers were baptized, with the exception of the thief on the cross. And I think that there was a little logistical issue that couldn't be resolved. But in the book of Acts, every single person who came to faith in Christ soon followed up that faith by demonstrating their faith in baptism. Why, even Jesus was baptized. So Jesus modeled baptism, Jesus taught baptism, and Jesus commanded baptism. He said, go and make followers of all the people in the world and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now we're quick to point out, it is not the act of baptism that saves us, but baptism demonstrates how we are saved. In a mysterious fashion, we, when we come to Christ, become one with Christ, and we actually participate in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. In baptism, we are buried not into a dirty grave, but into water, which symbolizes the cleansing. We're buried, but we're raised out of the water, and we step out to enjoy a brand new life. Now, some people ask, which is more appropriate, to baptize babies or to baptize people who are old enough to make a personal decision? Well, there are many wise and godly people who have landed on either side of this question, but here at Oak Hills, we see that baptism is a step a willing pledge by those who are old enough to recognize their sin, mature enough to comprehend the significance of the death of Christ, and independent enough to make a decision on their own to commit themselves to Him. We're never told in the Bible to be baptized and then believe, but we're often told to believe and then be baptized, to come to a personal faith and then display that faith in baptism. We do have baby dedication services at Oak Hills, but we don't have baby baptism services at Oak Hills. Although our baby dedication services, I think, should be called parent dedication services, because they're the ones who need the prayers, right? Another question, what if I was baptized as an infant? What should I do? I have been baptized, but not by immersion. Well, if you were baptized as an infant, the first thing you should do is thank God. Thank God that you were raised in a home and you had caregivers or parents or relatives who cared enough about your faith that they set you apart for this very special blessing. And to be baptized as an adult is in no way to cast aspersion or to reject that. In fact, I would say it's an affirmation. It's the further answering of their prayers. They set you apart that you could walk on the path of faith, and by voluntarily being baptized as of your own volition only demonstrates that their prayers are being answered. Be thankful for the heritage. Be thankful for the heritage of concerned parents. But don't be negligent of your responsibility as an adult to make your personal pledge to God. We have many people on every campus of the Oak Hills Church, people who were sprinkled or baptized as infants, but as adults, they affirm their faith by their own independent decision to follow Christ in baptism. How much do I need to know in order to be baptized? Well, I could give you the answer and put it on a bumper sticker. It's so short. You need to know that you're a sinner and Jesus is your Savior. That's it. You need to know that you're a sinner and Jesus is your Savior. Wasn't this the message of Philip to the Ethiopian? Philip began to speak and he told him the good news about Jesus. He told him about Christ. And what was the response of the Ethiopian? The officer said, "Look, here's water. What is stopping me from being baptized?" So both Philip and the officer went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Let's see that baptism is less like graduation and more like matriculation. It's less like the day you receive a college degree or a diploma, and more like the day you show up in kindergarten. You know, at kindergarten, when you show up, you're there not because you know everything, but because you want to know more. And that's what baptism is. It's that day you say, "Lord, I want to learn more. I want to learn more." Now, baptism is not an optional command. It's not an optional act of obedience for the disciple. It's just a holy moment. It's a holy moment commanded by Christ, modeled by Christ, and taught by Christ. And if it was important enough for Jesus to teach, to model, and to command, don't you think it should be important for us as well? In baptism, in some mysterious fashion, God signs and seals our conversion to Him. For what we may not know about baptism, we know this: it is a holy moment. And it was a holy day that day when Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch went down into the water and were baptized. Isn't it good that when the Ethiopian said, "What hinders me from being baptized?" Philip didn't come up with a list of things that would hinder him. He said this to him. He said, "If you believe with your heart, you may." And the Ethiopian answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." That's all he needed to do. Next thing you know, the Ethiopian eunuch is stepping out of the water, whistling, "Jesus loves me." And Philip went on to his next assignment. And the church had her first non-Jewish convert. What about you? What hinders you from being baptized? What hinders you from celebrating the faith that you have in Christ in this public act of baptism? I hope you'll be thinking about that. Later in the service, I'm going to give you an opportunity to leave this room and step out into the foyer area where a team will be waiting on you, and they'll take you to a place where you can be baptized. And if this is your day, Oh, we're going to celebrate with you. It is that day for many people. I'd like to offer a prayer, and then we're going to witness these wonderful baptisms. Will you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, what a holy moment this is. We are aware, O Heavenly Father, that this day was orchestrated by you and ordained before any of our days came to be. Thank you for these, your children, who have set their hearts apart now to celebrate their faith, to demonstrate their faith in baptism. Through Christ we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.